Okay, I'm used to my husband doing these things for me. Blame it on him. Good morning. Welcome, welcome this morning to Calvary on this beautiful Independence Weekend. Let us bow our heads for a moment and give thanks and honor and glory to our most gracious Heavenly Father. We ask your blessing upon us today, Lord. Thank you for blessing this nation, one nation under God, with independence and liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Lord. You are welcome in this place, Holy Spirit. Surround us, speak to us, calm us, and excite us, because we are here to worship you, Father. And we give you all honor, glory, and praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you guys like to stand and pass the peace? I think we should. Stand and pass the peace and welcome your neighbor here today. Okay, while we're finding our way back to our seats, I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist for the month of July. I would like to inform you, thank you, choir. Thank you, Andy, our drummer, our bass player, our piano player. We are so blessed with what's up here this morning. Most of you probably know that our pastor has taken a little vacation, and so we will be blessed this morning by LaRonda Barnes, and we would like to give her a warm welcome. Okay. Well, I'm sure everybody has already looked at their insert and seen the announcements. Please, if you have a prayer request or a praise you'd like to report, please fill that out on the bright yellow card and put it in the offering plate. Also, salty service, don't forget that. If you have done something outside the church that supports a ministry, please put your salty service card in. Please be in prayer for VBS. This is a wonderful ministry, and we appreciate all those who come out and support VBS. And I think Barbara would like to mention something. Praise God. No, no, no. Okay. You know what, Barbara? God's got this. He's got this. And I just am thrilled at the support. We may be small, but we are mighty in our giving. Yes? Thank you for all those who have supported the donations for VBS. Thank you very much. I do have one other announcement, Lois. I did find it up here. Yay? Okay. Lois, won't you stand up? Does everybody know Miss Lois Carlsberg? Now, if you live within 2 miles of the church, would you raise your hand, please? Come on. Well, there's a few of us. Very good. Well, this is what Lois is requesting. If you live within 2 miles of our church, would you be willing to put out a small sign in your front yard that says VBS Calvary? That's the request from Lois. Okay, and that's all you got to do. You know, when you get new windows or your yard gets sprayed, people put those signs in your yard. Let's support Calvary and put a sign in our yard for VBS. Sounds good to me, right? Okay. Are there any other announcements? Okay, then let us turn to the back of our bulletin and join in our opening words. God is about to do a new thing. It is springing forth. God is going to make a way in the wilderness, a river in the desert. God is doing something wonderful, for God is good. God is giving us eternal life in Christ. Come, join in the fullness of new life in Christ. Amen.
I know.
No. I forgot a very important... where's my notes? I'm sorry. Remember last week when Rhonda got up and spoke about our support for W.E. Cherry for the backpacks? Well, Walgreens this week has backpacks on sale for $4. What did I say? God's got this, right? $4 at Walgreens, not Walmart, Walgreens. So if you feel led by the Spirit to purchase a backpack, go ahead and do so, and then we can start filling them up. Thank you.
And Ron Coleman will have a caravan going to Walgreens after church. No, you don't have to give them a ride. Just leave them there. If you would, and right off the bat, I made a mistake putting the numbers in for the hymn, and it's actually 361 in your hymnal, or you can look up to our screen and see the words. But please stand as we sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Thank you. Please be seated.
Need the mic back on for Lois. She's going to do our children's moment. Time for all the cute kids. No, 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 no. Oh. Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to get to be with you today. Let's see. You're going to sit on the stair? You're going to sit on the step? That'll be good. All right. Let me see. How many of you know how to raise your hand? Raise your hand. Excellent, excellent. Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're going to need to know how to raise your hand. Okay? So here's... Wait a minute. Let me get where I can see you. Very good. Oh, you all are looking wonderful today. Okay, here's the first question. Have you ever heard this? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Have you heard that before? Have you ever prayed that before? Okay, now how about this one? Have you ever done this? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Have you said that before? Oh, you have. Okay, how about this one? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Have you said that one before? Well, you all know how to pray, don't you? That's really good. Now, did you know that doesn't matter how big you are or how little you are or how young you are or how old you are, it doesn't matter. God is speaking to you. It's true. It's true. Now, some people say, oh, I don't know how God's speaking to me. Well, let me tell you, if you can read, you can open your Bible because it is God's word to you. Got that? Now, if you can't read, it's okay because somebody has taught you something. Now, let me see. How many of you have ever said this Bible verse? Be kind. Raise your hand. You said that verse before? We've had it in Sunday school, haven't we? Okay. That's God speaking to you. Okay. How about this one? Love one another. Okay. You all are really good with your hands. Okay. Now here's another one. God loved us and sent his son. Have you heard that one? Have you said that one? God is speaking to you, and he's saying, I sent my son special for you. Special for you. And he doesn't say that just to each of us. He says it to everybody in this room. He says it to everybody in this town, in Florida, in the United States of America, in the whole world. God says, God loved the world so much, he sent his one and only son. So whoever believes will not die, but will have eternal life. Oh, isn't that great? So we know that not only do we speak to God, but God speaks to us. Okay. And he helps us, doesn't he, every day? Thank you very much. And now we're ready for the basket. Oh, you did it beautifully. You may select one candy.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Yes, I'm back, as they say. For better or for worse, I'm back. One other thing, we have lots of announcements, so just one more, I promise. It's in your announcement card there, but Pastor Esther wanted me to remind you, if there is anyone here for the first time, to be sure to fill out the card that's in the pew and put it in the offering plate, okay, because they're starting to do that, all the churches in the district. So be sure to do that. All righty? Look excited. If you're not here for the first time, you can pretend you're here for the first time and raise the numbers up. All right? All right. We're good. There are going to be, there are two little changes, so I just want to note so you'll be on the aware. I'm going to do a brief pastoral prayer right now before the offering, and then communion will come right after the invitation and confession before the sermon, okay? Because I know how some people get if the bulletin isn't like, you know. So we're good. All right. All right. Well, let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Most loving and abiding God, Spirit of life and of wonder, we come before you this day humbled by your presence, thankful for your grace, and filled with the abundance of love you so willingly bestow upon us. We come before you, selfless one, in awe of your desire to embrace us, of your willingness to forgive us, and of your ability to sit with us in the midst of suffering and despair. We come before you, creating spirit, with praise for all of the beauty and life with which you have surrounded us, from flowing rivers and swaying trees, to the sun and moon that grace and guide us by day and by night, to the loyal pets that bring joy to our days and warmth to our hearts. As we worship you this day, we remember your children who are hurting, those who are without food or shelter, those who are struggling through grief and pain, and those for whom this day will bring torment, violence, and war. May each of your hurting ones feel your presence. May they know your love and find comfort in your embrace. May every one of your children reach deep within to feel compassion for those who are hurting and to use the gifts you have given to bring warmth, nourishment, peace, concern, and care to each other. Transform us, gracious God. Help us to grow in our respect and love for our sisters and brothers, for all of the life that surrounds us, and for the creation with which you have entrusted us. Let every thought we have and every action we take be endowed with your presence, your compassion, and your love. All these things we bring to you as we join with Christians around the world in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I now invite the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, we now return to you a portion of what you have given us. Bless this offering and bless all of those who give and all of those who are unable to give. Continue to love us as we seek to be your children. Amen.
don't see any music sitting around out there, do you?
Singer for the music.
That was not Ron's music, by the way.
Here I am.
that song always makes me cry. It's one of those moving songs. But before I cry, I'm going to ask you, you got to do a little more. That was a fabulous song. And so I think we need to let them know how much we appreciated that song. All right. It's hard to get up here and sing, y'all. Any of y'all that sung, you know. So give me a hand. Let us now prepare ourselves for Holy Communion. And if you will join me on page 7 and 8 of the hymnal, we will say the invitation and confession. And if you will read the words in bold print, page 7 and 8. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now I invite Reverend Sandberg to come forward. Carl Burke. I didn't turn to call him Sandberg. I'm sorry. He does.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Carl Berg. Don't know why I do that. All right, today we are in the book of Job. You aren't excited about that? The end of Job. Yes, the end of Job. And so I will say two things to you. First, do not get upset or disturbed or nervous. I will read the scripture, but since we are at the end of Job, I will read the scripture further into the sermon, almost near the end of the sermon. All right? So don't worry about it. It is coming. And the other thing I will say, which you already know what I'm going to say if you've ever heard me preach before, which is just forget the sermon title. All right? I don't know why I play this game, but I play it all the time. I don't know what the title is going to be until after I preach the sermon. So just forget that. No windows. No windows at all. All right. Now that all that's clear, we're in the book of Job. And I'll start by saying to you that those of you who have read Job or studied Job, you know that the book of Job could be a 6-month, possibly a year-long sermon series. Right? It is filled with all sorts of questions and challenges and thoughts about suffering, about who God is in the midst of suffering, about what our relationship is with God, with each other, in the midst of suffering. And so we cannot do all of that today. Actually, you know me, I could do it all day. We could be here till midnight, but I'm not going to do that to you today. So we are going to summarize a bit and then talk about this scripture passage. Just to remind you, right, about Job. Job, we are told at the very beginning of the book, is a man who fears God and who shuns or avoids evil. Job is a righteous man. There is no question about that. And he fears God in the sense of reverence, of awe, this amazing God that we worship. And he has all of his life done what he could to please this God. He worships. He gives sacrifices, as people did in those days, to God, not only for himself, but for his children, just in case they've done anything wrong or in case they forgot. He is a man that we would say today has it going on, right? He has everything a person could want. A loving family, 10 grown children who adore him and each other. He has wealth. He has land. He has livestock. He is a man who is respected in his community. People look up to him. And this is the man that we are told about and we are introduced to. And Job is going along fine, as far as we know. And then, all of a sudden, things start to happen to him. And we don't really know why. You know, there's this whole thing about Hasatan, that Hasatan is sort of challenging God because Job is God's favorite kind of thing. And if any of you, did any of you see the shack or read the book? Well, you know in the shack, right, God always says, you're my, how to put my favorite, my, I can't remember it now. Oh, she calls everybody her favorite, but there's a way she says it. It's my beloved. It's not beloved. I'm especially, I know what it is. I'm especially fond of her. I'm especially fond of him. Okay, God is especially fond of everyone, right? And the same with Job. But God is kind of challenged. But we don't know whether that's the way it was or how all that goes. Suffice it to say, all that Job knows, is people start coming to him and telling him things that put him in great suffering. suffering and great tragedy, one after the other. Right? First, they come and tell him, oh, you know, your oxen and your donkeys were out there, and some people came from the neighboring tribe, and they killed them all and killed your servants with them. And before Job can kind of take all that in, somebody else comes in and says, we're so sorry, but we got to tell you, you know, the other field, those sheep, those were killed. There was this raging fire, and it just took them up and took the servants who were looking after them. And Job's trying to process that. And then somebody else comes in and says, we're so sorry to tell you, but you know your children, those children you love so much, the 10 of them, they were all together. They were having dinner. They were in one of the houses, and this windstorm came. And the windstorm just knocked out down, and they're all dead. One thing after another. And some people may read this and say, well, you know, that's just stupid. That can't happen, right? But those of you who have had suffering come, bop, 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 you know that can happen, right? One thing after another. But Job, all his life, has heard about this God and how to worship this God, how to respect this God. And Job says, what? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He doesn't know why this has happened, but he blesses God's name. And then, well, it hasn't ended. There's more news, you see. For now, his health is lost to him. And we're told that he is covered in sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And any of you who have experienced either yourself or someone you love who has had burns on their body, who has had sores from cancer or from chemo on their body, skin peeling from their body, from head to toe. And that is where Job is. And he gets on the ground, and he picks up some rocks, some little shovels, to try to scratch at his sores. And you know, if you've ever scratched at a sore, how that just makes it worse, but you can't stop scratching because it's miserable. And that's what he does. And his wife, by this time, his wife is just like, why don't you just curse God and die? Just get it over with. But Job, once again, the Lord give. I'm not going to sin against God by saying anything against God. Will I take what God gives me, the good that God gives me, and not take the bad? Then his friends come, right? They hear of all the things that have happened to him, and three of his best friends come. They come to town to see him, and when they get close to him, they can hardly tell that it's him. You ever had a friend like that, a loved one like that you haven't seen in a long time, and you see them? And it's like, what happened? And they don't say a word. They just get down in the dust, in the ashes, in the dirt with Job. And we're told for 7 days and seven nights, they sit with Job, and they say absolutely nothing. Nothing. And if you hear me say nothing else today, hear this. Whoever you love and care for, and they are suffering, that is the best thing we can do for anyone who is suffering, is to go and to sit and to say nothing. And believe me, I do the same thing. We're all tempted, right? We want to go cheer them up. Yeah! We'll go say something. Get you right back on your feet there. Sometimes we aren't ready to get back on our feet. Sometimes we can't get back on our feet. But if somebody's sitting right there with us, just there, just present, then when we're ready to say something, to ask for something, to get a hug, to cry, to whatever, our friend, our loved one is there. And if you've ever suffered, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just want somebody there with you. But the friends make a little bit of a mistake, right? They kind of do like we do sometimes. You know, they start talking, right? Because the main thing for them is they're like Job. They've grown up with this God. They've heard about God, right? And they believe that if you're good, right, if you've done the things that God wants you to do, well, then everything's going to go just great. And it's been proven, right? Job is a wealthy man, right? What I told you? He's a wonderful man. He's got everything going on because he's done all this worshiping, they say. So it stands to reason that if now you're suffering, you did something wrong or you didn't do something God wanted you to do, right? Wrong. Because we also know that there are times when stuff just happens to us. We had nothing to do with. We can come out here and get on the road and drive down the street and somebody else runs a red light and bam! Did we cause it? Did we do something? And they could get up and walk away and we'd be in the hospital for weeks or be laid out in a coffin. But this is what they've heard about God. And there are people still today who feel that way. That is the prosperity gospel. Right? If you're good, if you've done what God asked you to do, if you pray enough to God, my God, you'll have everything you want. You'll be just as wealthy as you can be. And I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it. You're going to be just as wealthy as that pastor that's telling you that. I'm just going to say it. You just put your money in, baby, and you pray, you're going to be, whoo, going to be wealthy. Right? Right. And we want to believe that. We want to believe that we're in control. And somehow, if we do what's right, it's all going to go well. We take care of our health, right? We're going to be healthy. If we look after our money and do all that, we're going to be financially stable. If we work hard at our job, well, my God, they'll never fire us or lay us off. Right? If we drive right, we obey all the traffic laws, we're not going to get in any accidents. We want to believe that. It gives us control, and that's not the way life works. So Job tries to tell his friends that. He's like, I didn't do anything. I swear to you, I did not do anything. All right, I know this. I know what I do and what I don't do, and I hadn't done anything. And certainly I didn't do anything to deserve all of this. So his friends just keep going at it and going at it. And finally, Job cries out to God. God, come and tell them I did not do anything. God, come and talk to me. God, explain this to me. Where are you, God? Because there's no word. And finally, God speaks. And a lot of people call this a rant. And sometimes I read it like a rant, but this time when I read it in a much more subtle vein. God responds God does not answer, but God responds. God never tells Job why he is suffering, what caused it, what he can do to get out of it. But God responds, and God says, essentially, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I created all this life? Not just your life, all of this life that's out here. And if you, my friend, know so much, you know how things work. You can control good and bad and evil and all the people around you and all the nature around you. Well, you know what? I'll just sit right down here. And you, Mr. Job, you can tell me. I'll ask you some questions. And you give me the answer. And that's my kind of God, right? Because that's true. God has given us the only two things that we really need. Life. And love. And at the end of the day, that's it. That's it. And we are not entitled to anything else. Because if we have that, we've got a whole lot more than a lot of people think they have. All right? So we're not entitled to an answer. And that's when Job then responds, and that is our scripture reading today. And it's at the very end. It's chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. God has said this, and Job answers the Lord and says, I know. And this is the Common English Bible, by the way. I know you can do anything. No plan of yours can be opposed successfully. You said, who is this darkening counsel without knowledge? I have indeed spoken about things I didn't understand, wonders beyond my comprehension. You said, listen, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will inform me. My ears had heard about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I relent and find comfort on dust and ashes. My ears had heard about you, but now my eyes have seen you, and therefore I relent. Some people interpret that as Job saying, well, maybe I did do something wrong, right? Maybe I just don't know. Maybe all the traditional stuff I've heard, that still holds. But I don't interpret it that way. I interpret I relent as in, yeah, you're right. I wasn't there when you created the earth, and I don't know everything that's going on, and, you know, I'm not entitled to an answer from you about what's going on. God, you know, I relent. You're right about that. And so I relent and I find comfort on dust and ashes. Because remember this, we had to get to that little epilogue part, that part that's added on right after this. It's like about 10 more verses, where Job then gets everything back, right? He gets 10 more kids and the whole deal. And some people like that because it's a happy ending. We like happy endings. But I'm sorry, I just don't buy that whole thing, that makes you all kind of happy. I mean, you lose 10 kids, you get 10 new kids, and somehow that makes up for the 10 you lost? I don't think so. But, you know, if that works for you, you go with that. But even before that, Job says, I have found comfort in dust and ashes. He is still suffering. He is still without his possessions. He is still without the servants. He is still without the respect in his community, and he is still without his 10 children that he loves dearly. He is still covered in sores. But somehow he finds comfort in dust. And dust, what are we from? Dust. Every Ash Wednesday, you're told, right? From dust to dust you will return. I find comfort in being dust. I find comfort in being human. With all of the suffering, all the pain, all the betrayal, all the hurt, all the uncertainty that that life brings. But that is being human. If we don't feel that, we can't feel any of the good either. That's part of being human. And I find comfort in the ashes. In the pain, I know that you, God, are there. And we know that God was there because God heard Job, every word that he said. So how do we find that same type of comfort in the midst of our suffering? I'm going to leave you with a little story. And it's this little tape they have, and you might be able to go on YouTube and you know, find it or pull it up. But it's on compassion, all right? And it's one of those little animated things. You know, they have the animated antelopes. Yes, I love stuff like that. You know, I can't. I'm a big kid. I can't help myself. Me and this microphone, but that's what it is. But they have the two antelopes, okay? And the two antelopes have gone along. And one has fallen in this big ditch, like a well thing, okay? And the other antelope is kind of sitting there, and he's looking over, you know, at his friend in the ditch. And the first part you see, it's kind of like we tend to like to do, and like Job's friends started doing, right? And we look over, and the antelope's like, oh, you know, poor you. You fell down in there. Dang. And we're kind of thinking, thank God I saw that. I didn't know. Can I help you? Anything I can do? You know, he's just down there just struggling. Let me help you out. And he gets like the sandwiches and blankets and, you know, the first aid kit and all this stuff for his friend. Right? And he gets the big well basket and puts it in there and then lowers it down there. Let me help you out. And okay, anything else I can do for you? No, you're good? Okay, I got to go, but I'll be back. All right, I'll be back. I'll see maybe I can get some help for you. I'll be back. All right, bye. Bye. I love you. Right? Don't we do that? Yeah, we do that. And we mean well. And a lot of times we don't know what the person needs. Because people don't tell us. We have to tell each other what we need. Otherwise, who knows? You know, I don't know that you're hungry unless you tell me you're hungry. But then it shows the antelope, how the antelope could be if he's a compassionate antelope. The compassionate antelope, the friend falls down in there. And the other antelope looks over. And he still may be thinking, thank God that didn't happen to me. But. Then you think, oh, well, you know, well, I'm glad it didn't happen to me, God, but I know it could have happened to me, God. So let me think. Let me look after my friend down here. And then he gets all the stuff, the same stuff, the blankets, the first aid kit, the sandwiches, puts them in the big bucket, right? But instead of lowering the bucket, this antelope, right? That's right. Gets that little ladder thing. You know those ladders you have? You can get out the window and all that stuff. And lowers it on down there. And then he gets the bucket. He climbs on down there with his bucket. Right? It's all the way down the hole with his friend. And he just sits there. And his friend's over here and he just kind of lays, sits on him, you know. I'm here.
Doesn't say a word, just sitting there. And when the friend's wrecked, friend just kind of looks over, leans his head over, puts it on his shoulder. And I'm sure, you know, the friend starts to talk and tell him maybe what he wants or sits there a little longer. But what's important is not the sandwiches or the blankets or any of that. And it's certainly not the, oh, I feel so bad for you, you poor thing, you. I just wish I could think of something to help you out. Let me give you a suggestion on what you should do. That's not helpful. And I submit to you that that's not God. The God we've heard about, the God that causes it all and gets us out of it all and tells us exactly what to do and the way to do it, that's not the God we see, the God we experience. And Job finds that out. Job says, I've heard about that God. But now I see God. I see, I experience the God who sits with me. The God who is there for me. The God I can trust that will never leave me. And when I am ready, I can talk to that God. I can share with that God. I can get angry with that God. We vent to our friends. Our friends can take it. Surely God can take it. God wants us to talk to God, to hear from us. I'm here. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to control you. I'm going to sit right here with you. And when you're ready, I'll be there. And I'll take your hand and we'll go wherever you need to go. That's the God that is with us in the midst of our suffering. That's the God that's with the child who is abused. That's the God that's with the soldier who's dying on the battlefield. That's the God that's in the hospital bed with the person with the sores and the skin falling off. And that's the God that is with each and every one of us every minute of every day of our lives. So we are going to have our closing hymn that's called Forever. And when you sing the chorus of this song, I want you to open your hearts and take in the words of this chorus, and I want you to remember them whenever you or anyone you love is suffering, because it simply says there's one thing that we know, that forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us. Forever. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing Forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever. from the rising to the setting sun. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever.
Now that we have renewed our spirits, let us go forth with joy and with gladness. Let us go forth remembering Job's God, the God who is with us, who is faithful, who is strong. Let us go forth in the name of the one who created us, the one who redeems us, the one who forever will sustain us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.